So dis lekker om hier te wees, dis lekker om hierdie dag saam met julle te kan deel. Ek het nou van die hande gemis, wie van julle is hier vir die eerste keer? Wow, baie welkom, welkom by ons familie, dis lekker om julle hier te hê, ons hoop julle geniet die tyd saam met ons. My nou vergewe, maar nou gaan ek oorslaan na Engels toe. Is daar enige iemand wat nie Engels verstaan nie? Nee, jylle mag nie, jylle werk vir die kerk, jylle kan nie dit doen. As ek een vraag sou vra, wie is God? En daar is net, of wat sou jylle sê, is die twee mees uitstaande karaktereienskappe van God? As ek vir jou sou vra, wie is God, beskryf vir my in twee karaktereienskappe wie God is. Wat sal daai twee eienskappe wees? Liefde? En wat sal die ander ene wees? Onveranderlik? Grace, mercy, righteousness. Two concepts. If you have to think who God is. Almighty, yes. Ruler, yes, there are two things. He's a humble God. These are all right things. There are two things, in my opinion, that defines God in two concepts. The one is that God is holy, which means he is righteous, which means he's just. And then that God is love, which means he's merciful, which means he's humble, which means he's gracious. The two concepts, the two most powerful concepts of who God is, the fact that God is holy. There is no darkness in him at all. There is no change in him. There is no sin. That the fact that he is righteous and that he is a judge. But then also that God is love. For many that might sound like a contradiction, but it is the two most powerful characteristics of who God is. The fact that die feit dat God heilig is, en God is ook liefde. Ek wil hê ons moet die draai na Matteus 22 toe. Ek het dit nie op die bord gegooi nie. Want ek vertrou ons allemaal kom met Bybels nog kerk toe. You know, it's important that we bring the word with us. Because I cannot change you. Only the word of God can. I cannot change you. Only God's word can. It's his word that is alive and powerful. Amen. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. But if you have another version, the word is still alive. From verse 34. Matthew 22 from verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Jesus was asked something very interesting but very tricky. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, who is the word of God that became flesh, that dwelt amongst us, so that we may know him more fully. God answered, you must love God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then something very powerful, equal to this. In the same measure, on the same level, going together with this, is that you must love your neighbor as yourself. You must love God, but equal to this, you must love your neighbor. Powerful statement God is making in the context of his character, the nature of God. One will expect that God will demand us to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. But God says, you know what? That's not enough. I not only expect you to love me, I expect you to love the things that I love. People. Because I love people. It's not enough to love me. You must love what I love. You cannot say, you know me, love me, and not love people. Jesus is saying something very powerful. Love for God and love for people. There's only two things that we must do. We must love God and we must love people. If you truly love me, if you truly know me, God says, if you truly know me, you will love people also. Why? It's not just because God loves people. It's because God is love. God is love. God is not just capable of loving. God is not just a loving God. God is love. What a powerful statement the Word of God makes about the character of God. Yes, God is also holy. He is righteous, He is just, etc. But He is also love. And you know, the most well-known scripture in the Bible summarizes it for me so beautiful, John 3:16-18, that said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And within that powerful verse says, we find both the holiness and the love of God. We see that sinful man coming into the presence of a holy God will be condemned and perish. Because God is holy. But then God is also love. And because of that, He sent His Son. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You see, grace is motivated by love. Motivated by the essence of God, the very being of God. It is love. And yes, it is so important for us to understand that verse because God sent His Son not to condemn this world, but that the world might be saved. And it's so important for us to understand in the dispensation that we live. We live in this dispensation of grace that is motivated by God's love for all of mankind. It's so important for us to understand when we relate to this world, not to condemn it, but to seek to save it. Because one day Jesus will come back. But then He's coming back as the judge. But for now, we live in this dispensation of grace. And we are called to love, not to condemn. But that's just on the side. God is saying that you must love me and you must love people. Because they go together. You can't have the one without the other. Then God goes further on in 1 John 4 verse 20 to 21. We can turn there. If you're a visitor, you can read the slide. But if you're a member, you need to turn there. You know where 1 John is. 1 John 4 verse 20 to 21. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Now maybe I should stop here. You know how many wars were fought in the name of God? between Christians and Christians. I can declare to you, God was not in it. God says, you cannot say you love me, then hate your brother. You're a liar. You don't know me. You don't love me. Because if you love me, how can you hate your brother? For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. God says, you cannot say you love me and not love your brother. Why is that? Because we were born of him if we love him. We were born again. Remember, we used to be in Adam, controlled by our sinful nature and our desire for ourselves. But then through faith, we were born again and we became a new creation. By the power of God, something, he imparted his seed, his life within us, and we were changed. We were changed within us. God says, you cannot say, you know me and hate, because I do not hate. The devil hates. I love. Because I have imparted myself into you. Therefore, you cannot say you know me and go on like you used to. You cannot say that you are born of me and hate people, because I do not hate. So what is love? Maybe I should ask you, it's a challenging scripture that we just read, but before we continue, I'll ask you this question. What is love? Who can give me a definition? How would you describe love?
It's an act.
Yes. How would you describe love? Let me help you. How did God demonstrate to us what love is? Isn't that powerful? God demonstrated to humanity what love is by becoming man, flesh. God himself, to demonstrate to us what love is. God sent his Son so that we may know who he is fully. So the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us so that we can know who God is. And he came here to demonstrate to us what love is by dying for his enemies on the cross. So that we with no uncertainty can know what love is. You want to know the definition of love? Christ on the cross. Beaten, tortured, rejected, alone. While we were still enemies for us. That's love. First John 4 from verse 9 says the following. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we may live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Earlier we read that If we love, we know God because God is love. You know what? The world also loves. But that's why I asked you, what is the definition of love? The definition of love is Christ dying for us on the cross while we were still sinners. Therefore, we also ought to love one another in the same way. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, by God's definition, God lives in us. And His love is made complete in us. His love is being perfected, the New King James says. His love is perfected in us. Now, I want to ask you another question. First one that I've already asked you. What is the expression of God's love? Christ on the cross, dying for us. If that is Christ's expression of love, what makes that love perfect in me? How is that love on the cross perfected in you and me? How is that purpose of Christ on the cross completed? When we love in the same way one another. What is so challenging is God's purpose for having His Son dying on the cross is not completed when we are saved. It is completed. It is perfected. It is perfected when we start loving one another the same way. Salvation, faith in that sacrifice, our response to that great love is only the beginning of this process of having that expression of love perfected in me. It's not perfected until I'm able to love each one of you the way God loves me. Then I mature. Maturity is not measured by my understanding, by my revelation, or even by my faith to move mountains. It is measured by my capacity to love the way God loves, because God is love. It is measured by how much I become like Him. God loves you. God loves you more than anything. How do you place value on something? How much will you give me for this glass? What is the value of this glass? Can somebody tell me? Give me an estimate. What do you think is the value of this glass? 2 rand. I have 2 rand. Will anybody pay more than 2 rand for this? So if I drop it and break it, it won't be an issue, will it? Just a mess because there's water in it. And if you're George, most probably a lot of money. But what if I tell you somebody just paid, Bill Gates just paid 1 million rand for this? What will you do if I drop it? glued back. Sorry, ma'am. What is your name?
Lena.
How much will you pay for Lena? What is Lena's worth? I'll tell you what is his worth. Her worth. Scripture says, God did not buy Lena with perishable things like gold and silver. You know why? Because all the gold and silver in this world does not come close to the value of your life, Lena. There is nothing more precious in this universe than your life. Because God gave the most precious thing that He had for your life. There is nothing more precious than your life. Lena, you are the most expensive item in this universe. Because God gave His Son on the cross for you. Don't allow anybody else to put value on your life. Because God has placed value on your life by giving you everything for you. Don't allow people or a society or anybody place value on your life. Because God has already done that. You are the most expensive item in this universe. There is nothing more precious, expensive than your life. You can turn to the person next to you and ask him for their autograph. Because they are the most expensive item in the universe. God says, I was willing to give everything for Lena. How can you say you love me and not love Lena? How can you say you know me? And when you see she's in pain or need, and you have something to help her, and you don't. How can you say you'll know me? Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? In 2 Corinthians, we read the fact that we are all meant to become like Him. Because it's only when we love each other like He loves us that the purpose of His love is perfected in us. It says we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit. We are all meant to become more like God. It is a process. If you're not there yet, it's fine. It's fine if you're not there yet. But you know what? I want to encourage you. God came not just to save you, but to change you. We're all meant to become more like Him, from glory to glory, from one level to another. We're all meant to grow, to become more like Christ. And you know what that means? Because we say that so often. You know what it means? It means we need to love the way He loves, because He is love. We're all meant to grow. We're all meant to become. It's a challenge to look at the end, but it's great to know where we're going. I want to encourage you, this is a process of growing, to become more like Him. But sometimes, becoming like Christ is very vague. But I hope this morning I could give you a glimpse of where we're meant to go. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus says again something very powerful. He says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another. Now, why is this a new commandment? If anybody ever thought of that. Why is this a new commandment? What was the old commandment? No? Close. What was the old commandment? I read it earlier. You must love your neighbor as yourself. You must love your neighbor equal to yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When I was a young man in a depression, I wanted to kill myself every day for 2 years. Because I had a very low self-esteem. I didn't like myself. So it was very easy to love others the way I love myself. Because I didn't love myself very much. Jesus said, now I give you a new commandment. Don't love your neighbor equal to yourself. Now love one another as I have loved you. In other words, love one another despite yourself, at the cost of yourself, sacrificing yourself for one another. The new commandment. And then he goes on and says something very powerful. He says, by this, the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's not by the great miracles that you perform that the world will know that you are my disciples. It's not by your great faith that the world will know that you. It's not by the many buildings or the big numbers. It is by the way you love one another. If you can love one another the way I have loved you, the world will know you're my disciple. Because the world cannot love like this. Only I can love like this, and only when you know me and are being changed by me will you become like me. So I want to encourage you in the one sense that you in your own strength will not be able to love like this. But as you grow in your relationship with God and you allow God to change you, you will become. Remember when Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. So I want to encourage you. God will do it within you. But you need to follow him. You need to seek him and know him. This is where we're meant to go. And if we are able, and I want to maybe add it in here. You know what is so interesting? God does not say the way we love the world. It says the way we love one another. Because it starts here. Sometimes it's easier to love the people out there than to love your brother and your sister that betrays you, that hurts you, that slanders behind your back, that disappoints, steals, all those things. But God says, if you're able to love one another the way I love you, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. It starts here. So how do we know what love is? 1 John 3, verse 16 says, by this, it's not there, you'll have to turn there, I'll wait for you. 1 John 3, you must read it for yourself. 1 John 3, 16. How do we know what love is? 1 John 3, 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is the definition, and this is how we ought to respond to it. In the same way that he laid down his life for us, we need to lay down our life for the brethren. Yeah. And then the brethren in other churches. You cannot say you love me but hate the guys in the Dutch Reformed Church. You don't know me. But in the same way I love you, you must love. And then it goes on, it says, but whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. Very challenging what Jesus is saying. But I'm not saying that, praise God. Jesus is saying that. I don't like being controversial. 1 John 4 verse 16 says, and we know and we have known and believed the love of God. Oh, sorry. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And then 1 John 4, verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God. Or maybe from verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Now, if you think about that on a practical term, on a Sunday, when there's visitors coming into the church, and I want to commend you for this. I want to commend the love that I already see amongst you. It's great to be here. It's great to preach this message amongst the congregation that I can see love. It's very strong. So I want to encourage you to grow in that love until it's perfected. But you know what? There's two types of people that come through, two types of visitors. The one is people coming into this family because they want to grow closer to God. They already believe in God, but they're looking for an environment where they can grow closer to God. They want to grow beyond where they're at. So they're looking for a safe environment where they can make themselves vulnerable before God amongst people where they can actually increase in their understanding and their relationship with God. And then there's another group of people that actually come into the door. They don't know if God exists. They want to see God. They come in here because they don't know. So they come to church to see God. God says no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. Somebody comes in to see God, which is unseen. But God says that if we love one another the way he loves us, he lives in us. So in other words, those people coming in trying to see God who's unseen will see God through the way we love one another. Because God is love. You know what? If somebody comes into that door, it's somebody knocking on heaven's gate. I want to know God. I want to grow closer to God. You know what our response should be? We should be so excited when somebody walks into that door. We should all just jump out of our seats and welcome them. Invite them for coffee and for dinner and for lunch and for small group and for somebody's party that's next week. Don't you want to come with me? You understand what I mean? If somebody walks in here for the first time and they're overwhelmed by people that is really excited about them being here and inviting them for coffee and for dinner and for lunch and for social and for small group and for lots of things, are they going to feel, what are they going to experience? You understand what I mean? And when they see how we love one another, when there's somebody that's pregnant amongst us, and they hear that for the next 3 months, from the day that the child was born, we as a congregation, each and every night, somebody brings them food for 3 months. Or when somebody is sick, most of us go and visit them with flowers. You go into that little hospital room, and there is, how many are we here? 60? 60 bunches of flowers. Guess what the nurse is going to think? Are you a celebrity? Or is there something else going on here? I mean, who's these people? Who's these people that visit you day in and day out? What's going on here? It's normal people. You see, it's little practical things. Somebody's away for a long holiday. They come back. There's no milk. There's no bread. There's no eggs in the house. But when they come back, there's somebody, or there's a basket with milk and eggs and bread at their front door. Maybe there is 60 of them. I don't know, but I can tell you what the neighbors will think. You understand, it's these little things. You know, and I want to encourage you, in London we did that with the pregnant ladies. We made a little roster from the office side, you know. We said, okay, so and so is pregnant, due date is on this date, let's work out a roster for 3 months. And you know, we did it for 4 or 5 times. And you know what's so amazing now? When somebody's pregnant, I don't do anything. The church just does it. Because they grew. They grew. So it's a process. But I want to encourage you. By this the world will know. By this the world will know that you are my disciples. Not your great faith or your great miracles or the numbers. It's the way you love one another. Think about the little practical things. Somebody moves a house. The Word of God says that our love for God is expressed in our love for people. Our love for God is expressed in our love for people. I want to end off with a very well-known portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. You can turn there with me. From verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burnt, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not reject or rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. Verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. Faith will cease, hope will cease, because it will be fulfilled. We will see it. But love will never cease, because God is love. May you love one another. May you grow in your love. May God's love be perfected in your life as you love one another. May God bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much. While we were still enemies, while we're still far from you, God, you gave your only Son And in Hebrews 10, God, we read of this account when you spoke to your father and you said, Father, the blood of bulls and goats did not satisfy you. So you prepared a body for me. So here I am, Father, to do your will. I will be that sacrifice that satisfy you. So that the people that you love may come into your presence with a clear conscience, with joy in their heart, because they know that you love him, that you love them. So therefore, Father, I will go and be that sacrifice. God, we thank you for that powerful expression of love through your Son, that there can be no shadow in our doubt that you love us, because you have given everything for us, that we can have assurance of that love. God, I pray that you will help us that we may become like your Son, that we may be changed, God, to become more like your Son, that people may know who you are through the way we love one another. God, it is difficult, but I thank you, God, by your Spirit, God, you in work at us, God, and I pray that you will do that work and you will complete it in us, that your love on that cross will be perfected in the way we love one another. God, I pray that you will open our eyes to the needs amongst ourselves. God, that we may see the need, that we may see the hurt, God, and that we will respond to it. God, I pray that you will open our hearts to see you. God, I pray that we may be bold enough to trust you, God, to be changed. Even though it's difficult at times to understand, God, and to let go, God, but I pray that we will let go and trust you, that you will establish your purpose in us. Like Romans 8 says, God, that we may become your children, and that you may become the firstborn of many brethren. God, may you be glorified in our life. In Jesus' name. And as we are praying, maybe you are here today and you have never responded to God's love for your life. Maybe you've never realized how much value God has placed on your life. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the greatest expression of love ever, that you may live with that assurance and the experience and the relationship of the one that loves you. If you are here this morning and you've never given your life to God in a response to that great and awesome sacrifice, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do so by just responding to God. If you've never done that before, even maybe you've done that before but you have turned away from Him, I want to give you an opportunity to come back to Him this morning. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand to God. Say, God, here I am. I thank you for your love. I thank you, God, for what you have given me. I want to hold on to that. I want to praise you for that, God. And if you're here today and you know, you can drop your hands. Thank you. If you're here this morning and you know that there are things in your heart that has grown hard towards others, if there is unforgiveness or bitterness, or maybe you are just struggling to give, I want to ask you to respond to God by just simply say, God, here I am. God, I know what I am doing is not right, but I want to change, God. I want to change. I pray, God, that you will come and change me in Jesus' name. If that is you, just respond to God. Not to me, just to God. Say, God, here I am. I pray that you will come and transform my heart, God. Change my life, Lord. And just practically, I just want to encourage you, if you're offended with a brother or a sister, and and it's in your means or power to go to them, do so. And reconcile with them. Humble yourself. Say, I am sorry. Or speak to them and say, you know what you've done? I might be completely wrong, but this is how I interpret what you've done. This is how it made me feel. And I have held it against you, and I want you to forgive me. I want to encourage you to do that. If you've raised your hand and God has been speaking to you, I want to ask you to do something very brave. I want you to come forward and we want to pray with you. And while we pray for those who are responding, I want to give you an opportunity as you are sitting in your chair, just in your own heart, quietly before God, just to respond to the word that He has ministered today. Just in your own heart, just in your own words, just speak to God. And I'm going to ask for those who've raised their hand to quickly come forward and would like to pray for you. Now is a good time. While we continue in ministry.
Ja, so daai mense wat hulle handjies opgesteek het, kan julle gou vorentoe kom, ons wil baie graag saam met julle bid. Baie dankie. Ek moet dankie vir Andri sê net vir julle die konteks verduidelik van ons seisoen. Jy kan julle kan maar daar staan, daar sê broer. Ons is in 'n situasie nou waarom die Here soveel blinde kolle wys van ons almal. Soveel blinde kolle wys, nê. En die ding nou is, ons moet nou oor die goedjies praat, oor die blinde kolle. En by die intersessie het ons gebid vir autoriteit en als, en ons moet die ding doen, maar wat God vanoggend sê deur alles is, ons motivering moet liefde wees. Ek het nou weer by Piet en Liala en hulle wanneer wat gekuier, Dinsdag, toe het ons juist een van daardie gesprekke gehad. En dit moet die motivering wees vir al daai gesprekke. Liefde. Want dit is 'n uitdagende boodskap en ek is so bly wat Andries doen, want saam met autoriteit, as dit nie met die nodige liefde, die motivering vir ons autoriteit die liefde is, sê, is maar taffie. Maar ek is so bly ons werk om nou deur, en ek is so dankbaar vir die in die kool akkurate boodskap vir 'n tyd soos nou, wat God se kerk nodig het. So, as enig iets jy is in jou hart, wat jy weet jy moet regmaak, kom vorentoe en doen dit met God. Dis tussen jou en die Here. Dis vir my belangrik dat jy eers kom en net hy stap en sê, God, hier bring ek dit. En as jy wil, iemand moet saam met jou bid, dan bid ons saam met jou. Ons het die probleem daarmee nie, ons hou daarvan. Want dis vir ons die belangrikste deel, om vir Jesus te ontmoet. So, julle, dis 'n great season. God gooi die kaf in die lig op, en die wind waai weg, die Heilige Gees. Daar's klomp kaf in ons harte. En dit is nodig dat ons in die nodige liefde, en ek en die Almarie is besig om net met mense begin te praat oor goedjies. Nou wat ons het gemis, ons dink julle die pot daar gemis, maar die motivering bly liefde. As julle opgewonde hieroor, en God suiwer sy bruid, ek is baie opgewonde. So ons gaan staan en ons gaan 'n liedjie sing, Oh How He Loves Us. En as jy voel die Here trek aan jou hart, kom voor. Net as erkenning sê, Here, hier sê ek bring my hart. Ek kom bring my hart na U toe. Here, hy vrot soggens en sommige middag vrotte erger. Maar ek wil, ek weet nie lekker hoe nie, want wat die ding doen, jy weet nie lekker hoe nie. Ek weet. So asseblief kom ons staan julle en ons sing die liedjie. So ek wil jou regtig aanmoedig om te kom.
He is jealous of me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.